Right, good morning, and let us all turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 26. And we're looking at verse 12 down through to verse 23. We continue our look at the sermon, or we can say the testimony of the Apostle Paul before King Agrippa. And the topic that we have for this morning is a phrase that we actually have from the book of 2 Corinthians 4:4, and that is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Light. In the beginning, the Bible tells us, right after God created the heaven and the earth, the first words that were uttered by God in those days of creation, on the very first day of creation, is, "Let there be light." And there was light. And from then onwards, there was a light shining in the midst of darkness. And the evening and the morning was the first day. Light is important in our life. Very important. We like light. I'm sure we enjoy the light as and when we have it. This morning, right, we just, I think, came to the end of daylight saving time. And it was a measure put in place because of the changing seasons. And so for half of the year, we know that the day becomes shorter and shorter. For half of the year, it is generally longer. Of course, incremental, right? Over time, each day, it gets progressively shorter and shorter, then it comes to a point where it's the shortest day, and it becomes longer and longer. And so as to make the most of the daylight hours, some time ago, we implemented what they call daylight saving time. So that when we shift the clock, we set it either forwards or backwards, we can make most, right, of the daylight hours that we have, that we don't waste the daylight hours. Why? Because daylight is important to us. We want to wake up in a time where, it's bright and we can get about in our day. And we know that as the season progresses, you know, in the coming months, over the next 2 months, as the day gets shorter and shorter, it'll be darker and darker as we wake up in the morning. And as we come towards the end of the day, the day sort of ends quicker. And we don't quite like that. At least personally, I don't like that. I still remember the first year we moved here, right, 3 years ago in 2020, and then I think the lockdown started somewhere towards the end of March. And then after daylight saving came to an end, right, so we all set our clocks as we did this morning, or as our phones automatically did this morning. And then suddenly, sunset went from 7 p.m. to 6 p.m. And then after that, over the next weeks, it sort of got earlier and earlier. Right, so over time it became what, 5 something, and so by 5 o'clock it's sort of dusk and it becomes very, very dim, and it can get quite depressing. I still remember that those months where we weren't allowed to go anywhere, it was lockdown, and so every Sunday after our service, and then after that we will have our SBS and then the YPG online. So I remember by the time I came out of the room, after Zooming for those few hours, it was all dim, it was all dark, and sort of like the day was over, and it was only 4 or 5 p.m. We like light. We don't like darkness. I'm sure the same is for you. The winter days are sort of more gloomy, and we like the summer days. The summer days are long, and it's bright, and all the way until 8 p.m., and you look out, and it's still, the sun's still shining in the sky. And oftentimes, the Bible will use this contrast, this distinction between light and darkness to portray a very important spiritual truth. Very often, the imagery of light and darkness is used by the Bible to depict the contrast or the difference between sin, salvation, between Christ and the world of darkness, right? Between coming to the knowledge of the truth and remaining, right, in the darkness of this world and of sin. Being walking with Christ is walking in the light, and walking in darkness is walking in the world, walking in sin. And I think the contrast is very clear. It plays on our natural inclination that we have to gravitate towards light and not wanting to remain in darkness. Right? We love the light. I love the light. I remember when we first moved into our own place in Singapore and we were doing a little bit of renovations. One of the sort of highest priority I had was to make sure that the house will always be brightly lit. So we got those LED lights, and I remember sitting down and the interior designer that we're working with, he sort of gave this lumens calculation for us, saying, okay, you need this amount of lights to achieve this amount of lumens. It's recommended that reading will be this brightness. And I said, yes, let make every part of the room and every part of the house where we can just open a book and read. It has to be brightly lit. Don't want to be in darkness. Don't want to sit in a semi-lit room or a dim room. It doesn't help us to do anything. We want to be able to see. I want to be able to see. And oftentimes the Bible will depict that brightness, that illumination. Or sometimes it uses the word manifest, to be able to manifest, to be able to make see, to be able to see and understand and to know. To know what? To know spiritual things. And of course, then as we talk into this imagery, we know that we are not talking just about physical light. It's not about what our physical eyes can see because of the illumination of the light of the sun. No, we are now talking about spiritual illumination, of being able to see or understand or to know, to grasp spiritual things. In order for that to happen, we need spiritual light. Or what our title describes here, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. It's from this passage in 2 Corinthians 4:4. It's talking about in whom the God of this world and as Satan have blinded the minds of men which believe not. And so the contrast again comes. Satan is often depicted as that who is in the darkness, who seeks to bring darkness upon the people, to blind them so that they are unable to understand and to see and to know the truth of the gospel. And what is the gospel described as? It is the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. He says, no, we don't want that. We don't want to be blinded, right? So that we are not able to see the glorious gospel of Christ. No, we want the glorious gospel of Christ, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, to shine unto them, to shine upon us, to shine upon all in this world that we are able to see. As a hymn that we sang just now, right? The light of the world is Jesus. The whole world was lost in a darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, he's shining for thee. And that is what Jesus would say throughout the Gospels, particularly in the Gospel of John. This sort of imagery, this analogy of light is used, all right, from the beginning. And that's the passage that we read just now in John chapter 1 as well. That when Jesus came, in him, this is describing the Lord Jesus Christ, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The light of Christ. As he came into this world, it was as it were, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin, and Jesus is the light. He came, and through his presence, through his life, through his words, he shone upon the darkness of men. But sadly, he came into this world, but the world comprehended it not. The darkness did not understand him, because they were lost in darkness. And what we require is the glorious light of the gospel to shine upon us, enable us to see, enable us to comprehend what all these things mean. And that's something I trust has happened to all of us. Sometimes the description or the way that we describe it is that when the gospel comes to us, it is like the light that shines in our hearts, in our souls, in our minds. We can say it's like the light switches on. Suddenly everything that was you know, blurry. You know, it's like we're groping in the darkness. We can't sort of find our way around. I mean, that's the effect of darkness, right? You wake up in the middle of the night. Perhaps you need to use the bathroom. You can't quite see, and you're sort of groggy and sort of, you know, feeling your way through the darkness. Sometimes maybe you accidentally left something on the floor, or you left something there, you bump into, you can't find your way because you can't see. And then you finally flick on the light, okay, suddenly everything is clear. You know what had happened. And prior to salvation, it's like we are just groping around in the darkness. We maybe hear some things about God, or someone shares certain things about the scripture to you. You hear it, you feel it, but you don't quite make sense about it. But then when the glorious light of the gospel shines in our hearts, it's like the light switch comes on. Everything just becomes clear. Everything is bright. Everything makes sense. You can see your way. And what was perhaps otherwise a very difficult obstacle without the light, now with the light turned on, everything's easy. And that's what happens in our hearts when the glorious gospel shines into us. Everything that was previously unclear is now made clear. The light of the world, Jesus, has shone on our hearts, and everything now makes sense. Has that happened in our lives? Have we received the light? And then are we bearing the light of the Lord Jesus Christ to use that light to then shine it in the lives of the people around us? Has it happened to us? And that is actually the analogy that Paul would use here, right, in his testimony. Because we know that, you know, for Paul, his salvation came by way of actual light. Right, that the Bible here says that there was a light from heaven shining round about me and on them which journeyed with me. That means it was actually a visible, actual light, right? It was a real light. I'm not talking about spiritual light. It was, I can't quite use the word physical, but it's not something physical, right? But there was actual, you know, visible light. A visible light that shone right onto Paul. And so for him, he had that unique experience. But that experience, right, became then a metaphor of the actual spiritual event that was taking a place. In a sense where, yes, it was a physical light shining upon him, or rather a visible light. But what was happening within him was, yes, the actual light of Christ, the gospel, was shining in his darkened heart, enabling him to see and to know and to understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what is the gospel all about, and then enable him to be a witness of that light. And so he will use that sort of wordplay, right, throughout this passage in this particular testimony, where he will use phrases which, you know, in the previous accounts of that same testimony, I mean, this is the third time in the book of Acts that we are hearing it, right? Acts chapter 9 was the original narrative describing the actual events of that. Right, two chapters before this, or in Acts chapter 24, you know, Paul Paul gave that sort of testimony. Sorry, in Acts chapter 22, beg your pardon. In Acts chapter 22, right, he shared that testimony once already before Felix, but then this is the third time, right, now before King Agrippa. And we see the way that he phrases, you know, the things, where he brings in this additional ideas of darkness to light. Right? For example, you see that in verse 18. He says, what was my purpose here? What was now my ministry? It is to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. You see that again in verse 23, right? That Christ should suffer, and that first, and that should be the first of them that rise from the dead, and to show light unto the people, referring to the Jews and to the Gentiles. And so we will use this to sort of form the structure of our sermon this morning as well. As we understand more about this glorious light of the gospel, it is what Paul experienced on the road to Damascus, by way of a visible light, but actually you know, representing or signifying the spiritual light that was happening in his heart, and then how he became a bearer of that light, a witness for the Lord, and that was his mission for the rest of his life. And that was the testimony that he used before now King Agrippa, hoping that he would also understand what it means for the glorious light of the gospel to shine on his heart. To the point that Agrippa, upon hearing this, he said, "Well, thou art almost persuaded me to become a Christian." Sadly, it didn't seem that he actually really did, but it seemed that there was some measure of illumination through Paul's testimony here. So what are certain things that we have to understand about what is this light of the glorious gospel of Christ all about? Right? What is the gospel of Christ? What is this light? Firstly, we want to describe it as a light from heaven. It is a light from heaven. Just as Jesus Christ came down as that light, the gospel also continues to come down from God to us. How do we see it? So firstly, of course, it refers to the actual visible light from heaven that blinded him physically. And that was a phenomenon that happened to Paul only. Right? But what happened at that point of time, as that physical light came down, it also illumined him spiritually, enabled him to understand. So he describes it from verse 12 onwards. "And whereupon I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests." And we saw from last week, now, this was really representative of his sinful ways. He thought he was doing God a great service, but actually he was in sin. He was doing the devil's work, literally. "But then as he was about doing that, at midday, O king," he addresses Agrippa, "I saw in the way a bright light from heaven." And so this was something brighter than the brightness of the midday sun. That's what it means here, right? Above the brightness of the sun. That means, you know, in the middle of the day, that's when the sun is at its highest point. It is the hottest, it is the brightest, right? And they were there, right, in the Middle Eastern region, which is somewhat of a desert Mediterranean climate. And, well, the sun shines brightly there. But he says, now there was a light that came that was even brighter than the sun, and it shone round about me and them which journeyed with me. God shone specifically upon him. "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew tongue." And what we understand first about this light is that, you see, it is a light from heaven, meaning to say it is a light from God. God is the one that chooses whom he would illumine, whom he would shine the light upon. That was what was happening to Paul. Did Paul deserve salvation? And we realize no. Time and again he said that prior to that he was the chief of sinners. He was so proud that he thought that by his own works he was good enough for God. I mean, that is the height of arrogance, isn't it? Thinking that my good works is so good that the perfect righteous God looks on me and says, "Very, very good, excellent life, nothing wrong with your life, you can come into heaven without Christ." That was the thinking and the mindset of the Apostle Paul as he was there journeying on the way to Damascus. Do any of us deserve salvation? Do any of us deserve the light from heaven? We know the answer is clearly no. Therefore, it has to be God himself that shines the light upon us to help us to see and to know and to understand. And otherwise, all of us are lost in darkness. Right? All of us have no way of coming to the light, no way of coming to the knowledge of the truth. It has to be as like how what was actually physically happening to Paul is like, you know, God has that, you know, powerful beam that high lumens torch from heaven, and he turns it on, he shines it upon us. And that's the only way that we can start to understand spiritual things. God is the one that chooses us, and God is the one that reveals himself to us. It is the light of the world, which is Jesus, that comes and shines in our hearts. And I trust that it is something that we have all experienced, that we have all gone through, that we were previously groping around in the darkness, going about thinking that we are living a good life, thinking that we are doing the right thing. Because all of us want to think that way, isn't it? None of us would naturally think that I am terrible, I'm useless, I'm worthless. No, we want to think that there is some good in us, there's some merit, some usefulness to us. And, you know, we might just shrug and say, yeah, you know, I'm not perfect, but yeah, I'm not bad. By ourselves, the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. We would not naturally want to go to the light, or at least the spiritual light. But God is the one. God is the one that takes us. He takes hold of us. He shines his light onto us and reveals himself to us. And that is the only way that we can come to the knowledge of the truth. And so that was what was happening to Paul as he was on his way to Damascus. He thought he was doing good. He thought that he was excellent before God, doing God a huge favor by going around arresting and putting Christians in jail, sentencing them to death. Of course, the very opposite was true. And so God shone the light on him, and the Lord Jesus Christ spoke, saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? What are you doing? Do you not realize that you are walking in complete opposition to me? Do you not realize that when you go about doing what you're doing, you are affecting me because you are killing my servants, Christians? That's what Paul was doing. He says, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Now, what does he mean to kick against the pricks? These refer to the goads, right? These fence that a farmer or a shepherd would put around his sheep pen, or perhaps the cattle prod that they will use, right, to goad or to push the cattle, the sheep, the flock towards the direction that they want them to go towards. And so they would put these sharp goads, pricks, right, around the fence. For example, like today's farmers, you know, use things like barbed wire, right? They didn't have that sort of intricate, you know, fine metal cords, you know, in those days, or metal wires, and so they had goads, right? Goads that were surround the sheep pen so that, well, it prevents the sheep from going towards the places that they ought not to go. So they will fence up, perhaps, you know, the edge of a cliff. And so don't go near the edge of the cliff. It's dangerous for you. Don't go there. But then, of course, there will be the rebellious sheep. There will be the willful ones that keep on trying to push the boundaries, to try to go towards where they ought not to go. And it's a phrase that is sort of like kicking against the pricks. It's for their good, right? But then they headlong and they try to continue to push against danger. That's kicking against the pricks. And that's what Jesus was asking Paul. What are you doing, Paul? What are you doing? You are hurting yourself. You are doing all these things which is against the will of your master. It is against the desire of the shepherd that you will continue on into sin and into danger. Don't realize what you're doing, Paul. You think that you are going towards the direction that you want to go, but you are just crashing through towards danger. That's what it means to kick against the pricks. The shepherd is trying to prod you in the right direction, and you refuse, and you rebelliously and stubbornly try to kick against the pricks. And he says, Paul, it's hard for you, it's wrong for you. You are not doing the right thing. And what was Jesus doing here? He was shining the light upon Paul, helping him to understand the error of his ways, convicting him of his sin, and then helping him to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul asks, who art thou, Lord? He realized now this is something divine. This is from God. But who is this voice speaking? Because you remember, Paul, in his life before, he did not acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. He did not realize that Jesus is indeed the Son of God. And Jesus is God. To him, Jesus was dead and gone. But then when Jesus spoke those words, and then he says, I am Jesus. I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. That's when the light shone. It's like the light switch was turned on in his heart. And everything suddenly clicked, right? Because you remember, Paul was well-versed in Scripture. He knew the Old Testament. He knew all the prophecies relating to the Messiah and who the Messiah is, what he will come to do, and what the promise of the Messiah is all about. And then when he suddenly realized that, oh, Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the one that has come to save us. Everything clicked into place. From then on, his message was the resurrection of Jesus, that Christ is risen from the dead, that Jesus is the Christ. And Jesus, well, how do you know he's the Christ? Well, because he's risen from the dead. And because he's risen from the dead, we have hope in him. We have the hope of the resurrection. And so the light was turned on. The light from heaven which shone upon him made him to understand the truth. And he was, as it were, in the words of what Peter would later write, he had called him out of darkness into his marvelous light. The light switch was turned on in his mind, in his heart. He realized the error of his ways. He realized that he was a sinner and that he must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. And from then onwards, that became his message. And so a light from heaven, it is speaking basically of our conversion. Of the time in which we are saved, we are born again, a light shone down from heaven, called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Has that happened in your life? The light switch turns on, and suddenly spiritual things are clear. Spiritual things which are spiritually discerned, we can now understand that. We can understand how it is that just believing in Jesus, we can have the assurance of salvation. We know that we are no longer under condemnation. We no longer have to face the penalty of sin, which is death. We have eternal life promised for us. And then every day in this new life that we have, we want to live for Christ. We no longer want to return to our old ways of sin. We want to live for Christ. Has that happened in us? The light of the gospel that shines in us, illumines our understanding, brings us to the knowledge of the truth. So firstly, the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, it is a light that shines on us from heaven. God is the one that chooses us, reveals himself to us, and calls us unto himself. And secondly, it is then the light of our witness. The light of our witness. Because now that we are saved, right now that we have received the light, the Lord then calls us to go and show that light, to send forth that light, so that that light can reach others as well. And typically, that is usually how we receive the light, right? While, yes, it is a light sent from heaven directly onto us, well, it often comes by way of an intermediary. That means someone that God uses to bring that light to us. Someone shares the gospel to you. Someone gives you a tract. Someone sits you down and shows you from the Word of God what all these things mean. And here, in this month of April, that's what we seek to do also, isn't it? To be a witness for the Lord. Of course, not just in this month. Every day of our lives ought to be the case. But this afternoon, that's what we were seeking to do as a church, to go onto the streets and to give out tracts, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. What are we doing? We are seeking to be a light, to witness for the Lord, to show others the glorious gospel of Christ. That light which someone brought to us, and we want to share that light. We want others also to come to the knowledge of the truth. And that was what Paul was called to do from verse 16 onwards. And so, you know, he sort of summarizes it, right? He, you know, in the previous accounts, he gave more details of how he was then led blind to Damascus, and then Ananias came and then laid hands upon him and all these things that happened. Well, he sort of summarizes it, right? He wants to bring just the salient points. His focus here is to explain, you know, why is it that he's going about telling people about Jesus? And he puts it by way of a testimony, of course, also, you know, aimed at trying to convert King Agrippa, but also had to explain himself, right? What was he doing? And so he says, you know, from then God gave him that commission, right? That he was now sent by the Lord to be a witness for him. Verse 16, he says, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose. Again, the word appeared has this idea, right? Of shining in him, revealing to him, helping him to understand. For this purpose, for what? To make thee a minister, a servant, and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee. And so, basically, Jesus is saying, I have revealed myself to you, and go and tell others about me. Right? Those things which you have already seen, those things which you have already experienced. Right? That light has shone in your life, and now you understand. Those are the things which you see. Right? Because again, there's a play of the words here. I mean, he was actually blind when he was receiving this commission, at the time in which the light shone, and then the words of this commission was given him through Ananias. What is it that he has actually seen? It was not with his physical eyes. It was with his spiritual eyes. These things have been revealed to him, and he says, now, these truths that you now understand, you go and tell others about that. And then there will be things which will appear unto thee, which will be revealed to him in a later time. And yes, for Paul specifically, he continued to receive revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, because he was an apostle in a very unique time in the genesis of the church. Right? They needed clear, direct understandings and teachings from God. And so Paul was one of them that received visions of the Lord, revelations, and he had the gift and ability to write scripture. Right, being moved by the Holy Spirit, Jesus appeared to him, spoke to him, gave him the words to teach, that he will, with the authority of God, go and bring this light unto others. But that's what he says. Now, you know, I will appear to you, I will deliver you from the people, from the Gentiles, upon whom I will now send thee. Mean to say that he will face persecution, but God will deliver him, and God will enable him, grant him the courage and the strength to be a witness for the Lord. But that is what he will now be, to be a light bearer. That in the process of sharing the gospel, what will happen? Verse 18, there is a purpose behind that witness, right? It will open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light. So again, we see that light picture here. Right? As witnesses of the Lord, we are given that very unique opportunity, a very special ability through God, of course, not of our own abilities, but that we have this opportunity to play a part in turning someone from darkness to light. Again, it's not us, but it's because we bear the light. We bring the light of the witness of what? Of the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. That when we share the words of the gospel, it has within that the power of God unto salvation. Is that not an amazing thing? That you can so drastically and significantly change the course of a life of someone. Whereas he is, you know, living his life not knowing God and just doing his own thing. Then you shine that glorious light of truth in his life. Of course, it's not you, it's not your merit. It's not because of how good you are or how well you speak, but because you did what God called you to do and you brought the gospel to him. You said those words, you shared the track, you pointed into those verses, and the light that shone on you now shines on him, and he turns from darkness to light. His eyes are open, his spiritual eyes are open. The light switch turns on. I mean, that's the work of evangelism. That is the work that all of us are called to do, to witness for the Lord. And every track that we hold, and later on as we go out, has that potential, that power within it. Not because of anything that we do, but because of the words of God that are found within those tracks, because of the glorious light of the gospel. And we may not realize it, but it has that power. Sometimes you think, you know, what difference can I make? I just give out these 100 pieces of paper. You know, I just go and I give out, go through the motion, do the routine. You never know. You never know. That through that little strip of paper, that light then shines in the darkness of their hearts and they are turned from darkness to light. The course of their life changes. Whereas they had all these thoughts, ambitions, and plans of life on earth, not having a single thought about the afterlife, of things eternal, or of things of God, now suddenly through the light that shines in their hearts, they become a servant of the Most High God. Our lives change. And we see, you know, in verse 18, this wonderful description of what it means to be saved. What it means to be saved. You see all these things listed one by one. Our spiritual eyes are open. Open their eyes, right? To turn from darkness to light. From living in sin now to having fellowship with God. From the power of Satan to God. You are under the grasp of Satan. That's what this whole world is, right? They are following the prince of the power of darkness, the darkness of this world, the god of this world. They are lost in sin, and everything they do is just to serve Satan. And then now you are broken free of that power and the bondage of Satan, and now you become a servant of God. And then now you receive the forgiveness of sins. That burden, that the weight of sin is gone. We can stand holy and righteous before God. And then we have this inheritance. We become recipients of the wonderful gift of eternal life, of salvation, of glories in heaven. All these wonderful things is now given to that person because he is now described as a child of God. And then we have that sanctification, that daily God will transform our lives. We are sanctified by faith that is in me. I mean, what a wonderful, precious list of things that will happen to a person when he is saved. And it comes about by our witness. By our witness. Again, not to magnify our role in it. We are simply messengers of God. Or we are simply, perhaps we can say, if we want to continue this analogy of darkness and light, we are reflections of God's light, or reflections of his glory. That when we are able to be testimonies of him, to be witnesses of him, it simply means that as much as we have received that light, right, as what God tells Paul, whatever it is that you have seen, whatever it is that appears to you, you receive that and you reflect that light. And that light now shines in other people. You shine it upon other people, and what happens is that their eyes are then open, they are moved from darkness into light, and all these benefits of salvation become theirs as well. That is why we are called numerous times throughout Scripture, walk as children of light. Walk as reflections of God's light. I mean, that's what a child does, isn't it? You are mimics of your parents. You are sort of a little reflections of your parents. Whatever it is that you learn from your parents, you are like children of whoever it is. So when we are described as children of God, well, we are reflections of God. We are described to show forth the image of Christ in our lives. And then the Bible uses that analogy also then to say, walk as children of light. Because children of light have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. We are not dwelling in the light. No, we are children of the light. We are walking in the light. We are giving the light of Christ to the lives of the people around us. That is our witness. That is what we are called to do. And as much as we have received the light from heaven, just go and be witnesses of that light. Bear witness to the light. And then finally, the third thought that we have is to show the light unto the people. To show light unto the people. What does it mean? Now, we're talking now more about the actual things that we show them, right? What is it that we need to explain to them? What is the contents of this light? Perhaps you can describe it that way, right? What exactly is it that we are illumining in their hearts? And so, the previous idea is the purpose, right, that we want to go forth as witnesses. But as witnesses of this light of the glorious gospel, you know, what is it about the light that we are telling them? Right? What is it that we are actually showing them? Right? And so that's what verse 19 to verse 23 then begins to tell us. Okay? And so Paul then explains, right? So having received that commission from the Lord, he says, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Whatever it is that God told me to do, I began to do in the rest of my life. And so, yeah, he's explaining what he's been doing in the past 20 years. Because that was what he was on trial for, right? The Jews took issue with all the things that he had been doing, all the things they had been teaching over the past 20 years. But Paul's argument is that, well, I was simply being obedient to this commission that he had received. And so generally, the calling is to be a witness of the light, right? To go forth and shine that light. But exactly what it is that we must say, what is it that we must teach in order for that light to shine and to be effective? A few thoughts here, right? A few thoughts about, well, the contents of the actual light, right? That, you know, what is the glorious gospel of Christ all about? Firstly, is the need for repentance. The need for repentance, right? As you see that in verse 20. He says, I showed to them first of Damascus and of Jerusalem and throughout all the coasts of Judea and then to the Gentiles. Right, so that was a commission, right, to the Jews and to the Gentiles. What is it, simply, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance? So as in a nutshell, faith and repentance. That's the message of the gospel. What is the glorious gospel of Christ? Well, it is a message of faith and repentance. That we must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We turn to God and also concurrently repent of our sins. Confessing the fact that we are sinners, acknowledging the fact that if we remain in sin, we are under condemnation, we are judged, and we are destined for hell. But, well, what is repentance? It is to turn from that sin, to realize that sin is serious. Sin is something that is an abomination to God. And to understand that that guilt for sin, that sorrow for sin, to turn from that sin and say, no, I want to have nothing to do with that any longer. And then to turn to Christ in faith and repentance. And repentance means to say that, yes, that was wrong. It was terrible. My life, as it were, and everything that I've been doing is terrible. And I want to turn away from that life of sin, and I want to turn towards God. So there's that shame, that guilt for sin, and then that will within us to say that no longer do I want to do that. That doesn't mean that we automatically or instantly become perfect, no. Of course, there still will be that willfulness in us, the selfishness in us, the pride in us, the lust in us. It will still be there, but there is that shift in our mindset towards sin. It is no longer something that we delight in. It's no longer something we actively pursue. And we have, you know, sort of guilt-free. We say, oh, it's fine, it's no problem. This is how we are, this is how we must live. No, we look at that old life and say, no, terrible, bad, wrong. Because our conscience within us realizes through the working of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God that that is wrong in the sight of God, and it is no longer something that we should do, no longer something that we should pursue. And then there is repentance. That's the first thing. Right, we show them the need for repentance. That's what it means to show the light into the hearts of the people. And that's what Christ does for us. And that is what we do in the sharing of the gospel. We use perhaps passages like the Ten Commandments. He says, do you realize that our lives are actually sinful in the sight of the Lord? That we have not put him first. We have bowed down to other idols. We have taken the name of the Lord in vain. We have not remembered the Sabbath. We have not honored our father and our mother. We have been lying and cheating and stealing and committing adultery. We've been coveting. We have been doing all these things. Killing, hating, murdering. We are sinful. And we need to repent. We need to turn from that life of sin, confess, and turn to God. And then, having been saved, now after the light shines in our lives, the light also manifests the darkness, right? It reveals the sins. That's what light does, right? When you turn on the light, suddenly you realize, whoa, how dirty, filthy things are, right? Sometimes you walk on the streets at night and you don't realize it. You just walk because, well, I can't quite see anything, right? And so you walk, you think everything is good. But then maybe you return to the same place the next day when the sun is shining. Whoa, I walk through this place. Whew, there are cockroaches everywhere. Oh, there are puddles of mud and grime and things like that. I didn't realize that. But then when the light comes, oh, suddenly everything is made clear. Right? And that's what happens in our lives. As the light shines in our hearts, oh, all those cobwebs that we didn't realize were there. Right? Now the light shines, and in the brightness of the day, you can see clearly. When seeing clearly also helps us to continue to repent of specific and other sins in our lives that perhaps we did not realize when the light was not shining. And when the light shines, now we realize the seriousness of sin. We realize how many sins there are. And day by day, step by step, the Lord enables us to do the works of repentance. That means we start to live more and more holy lives. That is the effect of the light of the gospel that shines in our hearts. And so Paul says, yeah, that's what I started to do. I started to help the Jews and the Gentiles to realize what sin is and to guide them to see the importance of repentance and turning towards God. And having been saved, how they must do works that are meet. That means worthy of repentance, suitable for repentance. Suitable, befitting of a believer, of a son and a daughter of the Lord. And then to show them, I would describe it as the light from God's word. What does it mean to show lights unto the hearts of the people? Show them firstly the need for repentance, and then show them these things from the light of God's word. And so he says, for these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. And so of course he's narrating and highlighting specific to the case before him, why he was being tried. And so, yeah, the Jews were so angry with me, right? Because I tried to tell them about the need for repentance and about the Lord Jesus Christ. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to the small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. So what Paul is saying here is that basically my message is not my own. It's from the word of God. It's from the Bible. And yes, when we share the gospel, we try to shine the glorious light of the gospel into the lives of the people around us, our authority always has to be the word of God alone. The word of God alone. And sometimes in the midst of sharing the gospel, we may get caught up in certain arguments or certain debates about certain things, certain issues. What is our go-to, right? How do we circle the argument and put it back on track? It's the word of God. It has to be the word of God. Authority comes from the word of God. It's not your clever arguments, right? It's not about some, you know, smart anecdotes or illustrations that you may have heard before and you see other people's uses. I wish I could remember that and use it at that moment. I mean, some of them sometimes may be useful or helpful in the course of the conversation, but ultimately it has to come back to the Word of God. That's our authority. And it is the Word of God itself that has the power unto salvation, is where the gospel comes from, right? And so we have to come back to the Word of God. And Paul says, you see, basically that's what he was doing. His authority, right, and the gist of his message was nothing other than those things which the prophet and Moses did say should come. He says, I always came back to the word. Right, how do I know that Jesus rose again from the dead? Well, ultimately, it's because it was what was prophesied in Moses, in the first five books, and all the prophecies, all the prophets, the writing prophets. He says, it's from there. And therefore, I am not speaking anything contrary to the word of God. I'm not teaching anything out of myself. No, it is from the Word of God itself. Because the Word of God is the light as well. A very familiar verse, I'm sure. I think we memorized it in one of our memory verses, I think last year or the year before. Psalm 119 or 105. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. The Word of God is what illumines. And the Word of God, therefore, is what we use. And we tell people about sin. How do you know sin? Well, from the Word of God. How do you know that the wages of death is sin? Well, Romans. Romans tells us that, right? How do we know that the gift of God? Well, the Word of God. How do we know that if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we should be saved? Well, the Word of God. It always comes back to that. It always comes back to that. Yes, maybe people may not want to acknowledge that. They may not want to receive or accept the authority of Scripture. But it has to be. And that is what we simply present to them. And whether God works in their lives and shines the light on them, well, that is the work of God. But for us, we present the word to them. They can choose to accept, they can choose not to accept. But that is our authority, because there is no higher authority than the word of God. Sometimes we make a mistake of using personal testimony or experience to sort of elevate or go above and beyond the word of God. So how do you know that you are saved? Well, because I feel it within me. Yes, that's true, and that may very well be true. But that is not the most convincing argument or evidence. It is the word of God itself, because that is God's word. Our experiences are always subjective. It is what we remember, it is what we feel, and it may not always be entirely right. Right? And so what we have to do is come back to the word of God itself. As Paul said, right? The power of his testimony is not so much that light experience. I mean, that's part of it. But ultimately, he said, you know, what I use to share is not going about telling everyone about my Damascus experience. Because that in itself is not enough. It's just what you experience, Paul. Not everyone is going to experience that light in the same way that blinds you and you know, God speaks to you in those many words. It is the word of God that convicts and convinces. And that is what he used, right? And that is what we do as well. When we go about sharing the gospel, we tell people from the word of God that this is what God says, thus saith the Lord. And if we want to know about God, we go to his word. That's how important it is. And then finally, to show them the light of Christ. As we said from the very beginning, the light of the world is Jesus. And so when we show light into the people, right, we have to show them the light of Christ. We bring and present Christ to them. And that's what verse 23, he said, well, I taught them, right? I showed them from Scripture. But what did I show them from Scripture? Verse 23, right, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and unto the Gentiles. Right? The people here refers to the Jews and to the Gentiles. He says, that was what I taught them. What is it that I showed them from Scripture? I showed them Christ. Right? And that is what we must show. We show from the Word of God. What? Specifically, we show them Christ. We show them Christ. That's the pattern that we see throughout Scripture. That's what we see Paul doing again and again and again. Presenting Christ. In or through God's word, we show Christ. And that's what brings light unto the people. And that is the gospel, basically. From the Old Testament to the New Testament. Demonstrating, showing how Christ should suffer. It was something that was prophesied. It's not an entirely new concept, no. So many prophecies throughout the Bible, throughout the prophets. For example, Prophet Isaiah, a very familiar, famous passage in Isaiah 53. All the songs of the suffering servant. Not just Isaiah 53, but so many other passages as well. Very specifically identifying the fact that he will have to turn his back to the smiters. And they will smite him on the cheeks. They will do all these things, right? These are the words of the prophets, describing how Christ should suffer. And these are the words also that Jesus himself spoke to the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Remember the Gospel of Luke, right? They were so discouraged. They said, oh, you know, we followed Jesus, but then Jesus was killed. And then Jesus took them, and beginning from Moses, he showed them in Scripture how that Christ should first suffer. Should go to the cross and die for our sins before coming again in glory. It is consistently through the word. And so Paul is saying, you see, that's all I did. I took the word of God, the prophets and Moses, and I showed that Christ should first suffer and then should rise from the dead. Again, that was prophesied. That was prophesied. We have seen through Paul's preaching also in the book of Acts itself, that thou would not leave his soul in death, in the grave, but it will show him the paths of life, will bring him to resurrection. And he says, you see, that was my message. And in so doing, to show this light and to shine this light unto the people. And that is what we are called to do as well. To bring the light of the world, the Bible says, which is Jesus. John 8:12. And spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That's what happens when we bring the light of the world, Jesus Christ, to the people, to tell them about these glorious truths. Have we come to the light? Have we received the light from heaven? Have we been walking in the light? Have we been that effective testimony and witness for the Lord? Are we showing the light? Are we bearing the light into the lives of the people around us? Do we seek to do so? Because as I mentioned again, we are not the light. We have received the light, and then now we become reflectors of the light. There is no inherent light in ourselves, so to speak. Not in anything that we can effect a change in the lives of the people around us. But it's through Christ, that as we bear that light, we show the light. Is that what we are doing? Recipients of light. Will we walk in darkness and continue to do the works of darkness? Or will we be children of the light, walk in the light, and bring the light to the people? Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word this morning. As we understand more of the glorious light of the gospel of Christ, may we be very sure that that light has shone in our hearts, that we understand and grasp and know who is the Savior and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. And then after, Lord, may You teach us then to bear that light, to show the light, to shine that light in the hearts of those around us. We thank Thee for Thy word, and we do commit once again our endeavors later this day as we go forth and share Thy word and the giving of tracts. May You empower us, strengthen us, grant us the courage, and may You do a mighty work in the recipients of the gospel. The light will shine in their hearts as well as they are turned from darkness unto light. In Jesus' most blessed and holy name we pray. Amen.